So thank you everybody for coming today to our workshop. We're going to introduce ourselves to start. The way we'll structure it today is that I'm going to introduce a few things and then I'm going to hand over to Avi and Steph and they'll lead us through the vast majority of the workshop. So Avi and Steph, maybe you'd like to introduce yourselves to start off with.
Yes, thanks Ray. So yes, as you said, Avi, A-V-I, and Steph. My wife. Well, we got married in 2018 and then had a desire, a burning desire to be on mission, and God placed on our heart that we want to live out the rest of our lives in a radical fashion, taking scripture in a more literal sense and trying to fix our eyes on God's promises for daily needs. And yeah.
Yep. So just our background. So Avi was born actually into a Hindu family. He's Indian born in India, but he grew up in the Middle East. So in United Arab Emirates, came to Australia, studied here, kind of became an atheist. Avi became a Christian in about 2015. I was born into a Christian home, you know, the biker gang, you know, that story. that's me. No, born in South Africa. And yeah, we met in Australia, got married. And as Avi said, when we got back, actually on our honeymoon, we got a call from an Aussie family in Sudan. And so we came out from honeymoon and about 2 months later, we left the country and we spent 2019 in Sudan and got back in 2020, just as the borders closed, had a baby, can't wait to leave again. So that's us. Are you Ray?
And I'm Ray Notley. I have not served cross-culturally. However, I've been helping people go to the field for the last 13 years. I work with an organisation called Pioneers. Through that, I guess, 13 years, I've had the great privilege to help about 200-odd people get to the field. And whilst I don't have cross-cultural experience, I think I've cried and I've laughed and I've prayed with probably most of those 200 people. So God's given me a really wonderful insight into what it's like and what the realities are of missionary life. So that's why I'm here. And also I've been involved in helping these guys get to where they're hopefully going to go at some stage soon. So let's get started. I thought as we got started, I'd just throw a couple of random numbers up on the screen. And I wonder if any of those numbers make any sense to any of you. There are some right answers, but please don't feel, backward in coming forward. If anything up there, if any number up there makes any sense to you, yeah.
Is 7.83 billion the population of the world?
It is the population of the world, yes. That is the population of the world. Well, that was the latest that I got off Google. Anyway, so thank you. Yeah, or Joshua Project, which is a mission kind of website. Anything else? Sorry? Yep. No, it's not the age of the earth, but that's a great guess, I reckon. 3.29 is actually the number that's quoted as the number of unreached people that don't have the gospel in the world. So as a percentage of that 7.83 billion, it's 40-odd% of the population of the world are classified as unreached. Anything else? Yeah.
Is the 0.1%
Ah, that's such, it's a, such a good guess. It's actually, that is the number of people in unengaged people groups who don't have the gospel or don't know Jesus. However, it's 1% of all missionaries actually go to that number. So that was a great guess. So yeah, very small percentage of missionaries actually go to unengaged people. I'll tell you some of the others because we'll probably be here for. So the 25% is actually 25% of the population of the world are classified or involved, are part of an unengaged people group, which is that less than 0.1% of the population know Jesus. The 1.5 billion is the amount of people in the world that don't have a full Bible in their language. And the 17,440 is the amount of what Joshua Project says is people groups in the world. and the 7,413 is actually the amount of unreached people groups in the world. So I guess the point that I really wanted, was that, you know, we're sitting here in 2022, 2,000 years after Jesus, and in Matthew 28, his last words were, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And we're sitting here, and nearly 40% of the world is still unreached. And so the reality is of why that's the case is because it's hard. It's really hard to reach those peoples. And so in Matthew's gospel, when Matthew's on the mountain, in the Sermon of the Mount, he says these. Matthew 5:16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your God, and glorify your Father in heaven." And so it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to be thinking about shining the light of the gospel. But just a few breaths before he actually says this to the people, he also says this, or teaches this. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so the reality is that whilst it's wonderful for us to be thinking about shining the gospel, wherever we are in the world, the reality is of actually doing it, it's really, really hard. When Pioneers missionaries sign on to become members of Pioneers, this is actually one of the things that they sign up to. Let me just read this paragraph. "Pioneers recognises there are risks inherent in cross-cultural mission, and that the safety of everyone involved in mission activities is a priority. Although Pioneers has various policies and processes to navigate such situations, you understand these policies do not and cannot cover every conceivable situation and danger to your life and health. As a Pioneers volunteer, you accept these risks and complexities in your service for the sake of the gospel." The reality is being a missionary is hard. It's difficult. So the loss of extended family, the challenge of actually leaving family behind, the challenge of actually living in two worlds, being one culture but living in another and feeling like you're a foreigner in both. The fact that for many, in terms of our identity, many would look at that as being a step backwards rather than a step forwards or a step up, having to learn a new language and be competent. I have great friends who are in Japan with OMF at the moment. They've been there 18 months. They're both very intelligent, professional people, and they just feel like they're in preschool because it's just so hard to learn another language. And then the other way, the struggles of actually coming back. And, you know, often people would see that as being a positive, sometimes with COVID and whatever else. But in fact, it's really, really challenging. You speak to many people. I was speaking to someone this morning who'd been serving with Pioneers in another place, and they were just saying about some of the challenges that they've had coming back. But I don't know whether you noticed as well, but the overriding sense of what people were saying is that, yes, there's some difficult realities, and yes, there's some costs, but it's absolutely worth it. And so I'm going to actually hand over to Avi and Steph to take us through a few activities and help us understand some more of those costs and also some of the value as well. So
thanks again, guys, while they're getting mic'd up. I'm Steph. This is Avi, in case you missed it. So, yeah, we're just going to play a quick game. Did everyone get three playing cards when you walked in? And does anyone have a random blank card or an A, like, you know, the jokers that are not supposed to be in that? Jess, could we swap this card out? Sorry, thanks. Okay. Okay, so I'll just quickly. The aim of the game, okay, is to earn the most points you can. That's it. That's all you got to do, okay? How do you earn points? Every high card, okay, so Jack, Queen, King, Ace is worth 10 points. Okay, so if you have two high cards at the end of the game, you get 20 points. But if you get three of any kind, doesn't matter what suit or whatever, three of any kind of card, you get 50 points for the trio, Got it? You can collect whatever you want. It's up to you. You just got to get the most points you can. You can, when I say go, you can move around the room, trade cards with anyone. Not yet. So you can start trading. You don't have to keep your cards hidden. You know, you can start screaming 2-2-2 at the top of your lungs, whatever. But you don't know how long you have to play the game. Okay, so there's a time limit. Suits don't matter, and you can only hold 3 cards at one time. So you can't, like, give your wife all your cards and, you know, just play with 3 cards. So if you trade, you have to give 1-for-1, you know what I mean? Okay, you guys ready? Does everyone understand? Any questions? On your marks, get set, go. Abby, can you... Time effect? What happened? Can you call... Oh, there we go, thanks.
Can't take photos, can we just shove this behind
yes.
you?
Hi! Sorry about the noise. And like, thanks for coming. Also, oh, I'm trying
okay. Where's the timer? How much time do you got? Give them at least 2 minutes and then tell me, we'll check in how they go. You might. We can bring it closer. I think I might have hit it. It's fine. They'll cut it out. Some people are just sitting there. Jace, check Jace. He's just sitting at the back. So you're next. You know what's next?
30 seconds.
Yeah, don't tell them the counter. Yeah, but don't. Yeah, we'll let it go for 20 more seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, this is cool. You can see what's coming. So I'm gonna stand behind you, and I'll do slides when you talk. So step forward, and then I'll just send you. Are you gonna introduce Mima? Just say, take your seats, keep your cards. No more trading. Don't cheat. Face down. Okay. 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 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Grab a seat. No more trading.
Game over.
Trading floor has closed.
Game over. Seats, please. No more trading. No more trading.
No more insider trading.
Yeah. So remember, no swapping with your neighbor now. Jonathan, behave yourself, okay? So, yes, now you hold on to your cards. Just hold on to your cards.
Yeah, so you start to notice that in addition to the earlier points that were raised, we thought of 2 more. Just that everyday life, even the minor things that we thought were easy, start to become a little bit more challenging. And they're just ground level very different, and they look very different. So we were thinking along those lines that I had a few examples that came to mind was even at dinner time, there was a reason why I lost 10 kilos of what I currently weigh, is that evening meals were just a bowl of rice, a slice of lemon, and maybe a random piece of meat. Or sometimes it was eating a fried bowl of grains 7 days straight during lunch. You almost lost your appetite. You didn't want to see that bowl of food anymore. And it kind of led to a bit of loneliness over time, because the local people could not understand our struggles. They said, what are you complaining about? You have food. And the people back home could not fathom, because we had fridges stocked up and full and a deep freezer on top. But and often, even as I was reflecting on scripture while I had my quiet times in Sudan, you have all these revelations from God and wanting to share them, but all you can say and utter in the local language is, God is good. And you become a little prisoner of your own thoughts, that you have so much of this bubbling joy from God's word, but you have no one to share with except for between the two of us.
Okay. Yep. So as Christians, when we look at a list like this, which is just a short list, we can see that this is like, it's pretty hard. There's difficulties involved. There's also like our own heart ties, you know, so family, friends, safety, maybe getting married. There's all those desires that we have. And then on the other hand, we're Christians. So we have this conviction to share the gospel. You know, we know how amazing it is to know Christ. And so missionaries, like the topic that we're discussing, like how do they do it, right? So are they just these superhuman people, you know, who like, cheers, mom, whatever, you know, I'm going to share the gospel. You know, do they have a special faith? Okay, so when we were thinking about this, we thought, okay, let's play this game that you guys just played. So just quickly to ask you guys questions, who here actually tried to collect three of a kind? Can you raise your hand if you tried to collect three of a kind? Okay. Who here, yeah, you tried. Yeah. Who here collected, put up your hands. Who collected, what did you collect?
Nines.
Why did you collect nines?
Because I had some nines and I traded them off between us. Okay.
Okay, you picked nines. Okay. What did you?
Three aces.
Aces. So you picked high cards and threes.
Oh, I had one ace already. I managed to pick one.
Ah. Who else tried to collect three high cards? Why? Why did you try to collect three high cards?
Because I had one of them.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Why did you try to collect three?
I already had two jacks.
Okay.
Already had three high cards.
Oh, there you go. right. Who started with high cards but got rid of them to collect a lower number? Okay. Why did you?
Because they could give me one to make three, so I got rid of
the
high cards.
Okay, so once you saw what you wanted, then you decided to give them up? Okay. Did anyone sit and not trade at all? Oh, obviously. Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
So yes, thank you.
Did you say you had three of a kind high cards?
No, three high cards.
Okay, so you didn't have three of a kind?
No.
So even though you're only going to get 30 points instead of 50, you were happy with sticking with three?
I misunderstood that.
Okay. Okay, so just quickly, I'm sure we'll think about this more as we talk, but all you guys have shared have shown me that each one of you quickly came up with a strategy, whether it was holding your hand until you found something that was better, you know, wife. Whatever your strategy was, you picked one and you picked it really quick because you didn't know how long you had to play. And that strategy you chose was based off what you thought your odds of success were in the game. Like some people thought maybe I'll never get three of a kind. And it was based on how you assessed risk. So some people might be super like, I'm just going for it. You know, I could have given you 5 seconds for that game. You know, and people could have gotten rid of high cards, right? So just similarly, just thinking through, I mentioned before heart ties, right? Things that we love in life and that we find hard to give up. Family, safety, health, they're like the high cards, right? So no matter what you do, whether you have them in your hand or not, they have inherent value, right? They're good gifts from God. And the fact that we love them or desire them is not always, it's good to love your family. It's good to want to be safe, right? And as humans, we are, I think, naturally risk averse just by nature. So I don't know many people, even Christians, who will give up high cards or give up their family or safety unless it's for something really like guaranteed or like, you know, something of much bigger value. You know, that's how we kind of operate as humans. So for example, if we said, okay, three of a kind is like sharing the gospel, we know that there's eternal value, right? But we also want success. Like inside of us, we want to know that I'm leaving my parents, I'm leaving, you know, McDonald's, you know, for the gospel. And I want to know that it's going to be a success. I'm going to share the gospel and people will come to know Christ. But as you guys know, there's no guarantees, not yet. There's no guarantees of success with mission. You can go on mission. Your child gets malaria, you're not guaranteed that God's going to heal your child. Or you get kidnapped, you know, you're not guaranteed that there's going to be an international outrage and the, you know, embassies are going to, you know. You're not even guaranteed that you're going to have enough life to share the gospel. You get on the plane, you could die on the way to the field. And the fact that you've given up all your high cards or forsaken all your heart ties actually makes no difference. There's no guarantees, right? But we have the promises of God as Christians. So God says, you know, there's so many. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I will add all these things, all that you need, unto you.
Go and make disciples of all nations, and I'll be with you to the end of the age.
There's no one who has forsaken homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, lands, for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, lands in the age to come, eternal life.
God is not unjust, and he will not forget your work and the love that you've shown him and for his people.
And like whether you turn left or right, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, right? Those are like all promises that we have. So the question actually becomes not really about the realities or what you're giving up, but it becomes, do you believe in the promises of God, right? So Hudson Taylor had a quote, and he was talking about the promises of God. And he said, do you believe the promises? If you don't, like if you're a bit like, I'm feeling uneasy, why would you go overseas to propagate a faith? Like, but if you do believe the promises, well, what more do you need? The promises suffice. You don't even need to wait for your partnership development or the promises are enough, right? So just to summarize, what does it cost to be a missionary? Anyone? Okay, yep, so a lot. And what must you sacrifice to be a missionary? Nothing. So, yeah, okay, you want
to... David Livingstone was a missionary to Africa, and to summarize his quote, he's trying to get at the idea that because we have eternal glory, a huge inheritance, mansions prepared for us ahead of time, no sacrifice can ever compare to what's to come.
Yep. So this is that concept of like God is no man's debtor, right? So even if you made the biggest sacrifice you can even think of in your brain on earth, you will still just be an unworthy servant having done your duty, right? You will not stand before God and say, you owe me anything.
Yeah, because I guess we're quick to trust God with our eternity, but are we willing to trust him with our daily bread, those comforts, those finances? Because on one hand, when I look at Livingstone's quote, it really sounds so difficult to accept that. It almost sounds incredible because I stand in awe of his words because he faced numerous challenges. And such faith is truly, it is a gift from God. So my prayer is that we all would have such faith. So what's in your hand? Because two of the passages that come to mind for us out of Scripture are this one. Oh, this is one of them. Where Moses came before the Lord grumbling, worried, and God simply asked him, what's in your hand? And Moses said, you know, I have a staff. And then God used that little instrument mightily to bring multitudes to come serve and obey him. And then there's another passage in Matthew where, again, you have disciples bringing to Christ those small amounts of food that Christ then enormously, amazingly, miraculously multiplies in order to feed the multitudes. That's really more of a summary, is what is in your hand, apart from the card game, to truly sit and take stock of what is in your hand. Because the Lord can multiply what little we have and feed thousands, millions. So some of the takeaways from today, we tried to bring them up into four words, is ask, believe, bring, and trust. So let's be people that ask for great faith, believe and stand on God's promises, bring to the Lord all that is in your hand, and trust that he will multiply. We'll just take a short moment just to pause and pray as well as to what we've heard today and seen on through the videos. Please join with me. Lord, thank you for just this opportunity for Steph and I to share. Lord, Steph and I both know that we're really incapable and unqualified, but you make the unqualified qualified. Father, please, in our weakness, would you have brought clarity to all of us here as to the knowledge that lives are at stake and that our resources and what is in our hand ought to be utilized to the best possible effort to having you glorified. Lord, we just thank you for all the people here that they would have great faith in order to see your name proclaimed and that people of all nations will come to sing your praises in a land where there will be no more suffering and no more pain. I would pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.